You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today is Marge listening on Fresno, California. Hi, Marge.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Did I hear you correctly some time ago say something to the effect that we can talk to God, but we cannot have a conversation with Him? In other words, he doesn't, you know, in talking with Him, He doesn't answer back or whatever.
Well, no, I don't think I've ever said that, unless I had a slip of the tongue. We certainly can have a dialogue with God. God speaks to us through the majesty of His Word. He speaks to us through that still small voice. So God yet speaks to us. He speaks to us through people.
That's right. And the reason why I was so concerned about what I thought I heard you say was because our Father and I communicate all the time. And then, of course, there's Bill Hybel, who wrote the book *The Power of a Whisper*, as you probably know, and it's just he's also confirming the fact that people can communicate with Him.
Yeah, do remember that God has ultimately communicated to us through His Word, and that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, and we ought to test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. And the only reason I add that to the conversation is that feelings and experiences can be notoriously unreliable, and therefore there has to be a test for those feelings or for those experiences. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Don. He's listening in Sioux City, Iowa. Hi, Don.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm blessed. Got a quick question for you, Hank. Can you tell me anything about the Joseph Prince ministry? He's out of Singapore, and he's teaching on radical grace.
Yeah, well, I certainly believe in radical grace. I don't believe in Joseph Prince. I've listened to his ministry over the years, and he's a classic word of faith prosperity preacher. And I think he is one of the primary exemplars for a theology that I think really traps people in its web of deceit. I've written about this in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. This is a prostitution of the biblical concept of faith. In their view, faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, you can create your own reality. And thus, if you have enough faith, you can have health and you can have wealth. In reality, we live in a cursed creation. The death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. And therefore, we must have a biblical understanding of what true faith is. And in that sense, it is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God, faith being only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if your faith is in your own faith, it's credulity. If your faith is in God, it's well-placed faith. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David, Wichita, Kansas. Hi, David.
Hello. I appreciate you taking my call.
My pleasure.
I heard a comment that you made recently concerning, you know, as far as an argument against a young Earth was the supernova, I believe, because it would take, you know, billions of years for us to see that happen. And so
what I actually said about that is it would be like a movie about an event that never actually took place.
Right, right. I understand that. There's a book by Russell Humphreys, and I don't know if you have you ever heard of that book?
Yes.
He writes concerning how that time the farther you get away from the Earth, time is faster. And I think one thing you mentioned is there's an atomic clock in Denver, there's a clock which would be faster, the higher the altitude. I believe there's a clock at the top, you know, as far as where Denver is, and then that there would be another one, you know, sea level or however that works. But the clock in Denver is faster, like maybe 1 second faster. And the theory that Dr. Humphreys presents is that the farther away that the planets are, that, you know, like instead of it being a 24-hour day, you know, that time frame would be cut down. And also, I checked on this with and they said that during the week of creation or during, you know, the first, you know, hundreds of years of creation, then it was possible that the universe was going faster, and then that would result in, you know. So that, I was just going to ask you what you thought about that.
Yeah, I think we have to be very humble about these things. But first of all, I would say this, that the moment you start arguing against constancy in nature, you lose a very significant weapon in historical apologetics. If you say things were different in the past than they are in the present, which is the second argument you made, not the first. But if you say that, then you lose epistemic warrant for events such as the resurrection, because maybe in times past, people spontaneously came back to life. It's a very dangerous two-edged sword, so I'd be careful with that argument. But as far as the first argument that you were talking about with respect to the supernova, I was talking on a previous broadcast about supernova 1987A. And that has a identifiable before and after. So prior to the 1987 time frame, the supernova was an ordinary star in a distant galaxy. It was 168,000 light years away. And then on February 23rd, 1987, the star explodes and it becomes a supernova. In other words, 168,000 years ago, the star explodes, and in 1987, the light of that event finally reached the Earth, unless you say that God created the universe 6,000 years ago. Then the supernova would be, as I said in a previous broadcast, it'd be like a documentary film of an event that never actually happened. So I think we need to think about those kinds of things, and this is not the only thing. I mean, if we look at star life is not something that requires a tremendous amount of conjecture, because we can see stars in all phases. We can see a star that's born. We can see a star in midlife. We can see a white dwarf star. We can understand through measurement exactly how long it would take a star to become a white dwarf star. In other words, how long does it take for the fuel or the energy to exhaust itself? So there's measurement that we could use. That measurement certainly seems to point to a universe that's far older than 6,000 years. Now, I don't have an ox in the battle. The issue is not for me trying to prove that there's an old universe. The issue is trying to be consistent with God's revelation of himself, both in the Bible and in the book of nature. God's imprimatur, his fingerprints, are on this universe. His invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So I want to correctly read the book of nature as God enables me to do so. And therefore, I would never try to teach a child geocentrism today. Although in centuries past, people did. Today, there are very few Christians, although there are some notable Christians, that still teach geocentrism because they believe that's what the Bible teaches. But I think the real issue here is it's their flawed interpretation of the Bible that's at issue. They don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And so if they see a text that seems to suggest that the Earth is the center of the universe and it's fixed in its place and the sun travels around the Earth, they say the Bible teaches geocentrism. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. But we know that that is not true. We live in a privileged planet that is designed for exploration. We're placed by God's providence in exactly the right place that we can look out into the distant universe. We can observe things about ourselves. That's not by accident. Now, to simply now reject what we observe because we have a flawed interpretation of Scripture, I think is a dangerous thing. So I am simply asking people to be credible in their reading of Scripture, which is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. It is the standard. You need to know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and you need to be one who is credible in terms of explaining God's revelation of Himself in nature, which He has clearly done, and we should not misunderstand that revelation. We'll be right back with more.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Greg. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, are some people predestined for hell? Do they have no chance of going to heaven, even though they accept Christ as their Savior?
Well, I mean, there certainly are systems of thought in which people are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. Those, in fact, were the exact words of John Calvin. So there are systems of thought within Christianity that say that you're created in such a way that you cannot respond to the gospel. In fact, that says so much as that all people are created in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel, but God regenerates some, the elect, so that they can respond to the gospel and thus be saved. And that's why in the Calvinist system, regeneration always precedes faith. So again, in that system of thought, yeah, specifically people are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. But that is not a system that is adhered to by all Christians. It is a system of thought or a particular theological construct within the pale of orthodoxy.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Look, I mean, I'm just telling it like it is. I mean, there are Christian theologians that hold to that particular position. For example, Calvin said that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his own pleasure arranged it. Are not created on equal terms all people? Answer, no. Some are preordained to eternal life, others to eternal damnation. And accordingly, as each has been created for one or the other of those ends, we say that he has been predestined to life or death. Or, said Calvin, God arranges all things by his sovereign counsel in such a way that individuals are born who are doomed from the womb to certain death. So this is a teaching of a whole construct within Christianity, and we have again tried to help people think about these by, in fairness, giving the best non-Calvinist and the best Calvinist response to this issue of predestination and whether we should believe in compatibilistic freedom or libertarian freedom. The journal article that I reference in this regard is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can check it out online. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Andy. Andy is listening on Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Andy.
How's it going, Hank?
Good.
My question is concerning immigration. I know God ordained the nations, but at the same time, we're called to help our brothers in need. And while it's true that some people come here from, you know, specifically Mexico without good intentions, the majority of people, I think, do probably come here, you know, in order to better themselves, to better their families. Just kind of holding those two points of tension, I think, what's your take on whether or not we should seal the borders completely, or, I mean, just your general views on immigration based on the Bible?
Well, I think this is one of those issues that the Bible doesn't deal with directly, but does deal with in principle. And as someone who's immigrated to two different countries, I was 3 years old when we immigrated to Canada, and then 14 years old when we immigrated from Canada to the United States, I'm very thankful for the opportunity my family had to immigrate from Holland, first to Canada, and then to the United States. And I think that whenever you immigrate, whenever you become part of another country, another culture, what you have to do is take seriously your responsibilities within that culture. And therefore, you want to make sure that when you come into a culture, that you're not just a reckless consumer, but you're a contributor to what happens within that culture. And if that happens, you can better a culture, and you can thank God for the opportunity that we have, the freedoms that we have, and the opportunities that we have to legally go from one country to another country. Again, legality is an operative word in all of this, because if you talk about sealing our borders, you immediately recognize that there is some illegal transporting going on between countries and over borders, and illegality is never a good thing.
Okay.
But again, I'm thankful from a personal standpoint for the opportunity we had to immigrate by law, by meeting the standards that were asked of us to meet. I'm thankful for that opportunity. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Ernest. He's listening in Edmonton. Hi, Ernest.
I was just wondering if there was from God, you know, like the dream was just so vivid, you know. In my dream, I die for my faith in Canada. And the scripture came to my mind, and they love not their life unto death. I just wondered if that's from God or not.
Yeah, I can't answer that question because I can't answer the anecdote. I can't answer the subjective experience, but I can tell you this.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, well, the basic principle is that we are those who are called to suffer for Christ. We are those who are called to be willing to die for Christ. And we are those who are called to proclaim the gospel, to be a light on a hill. So all the elements of your dream bear witness to reality. We are willing to testify even to the point of shedding our own blood. I think the inverse is the problem. The inverse is that while we're called to be ambassadors, most of us have been instead secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mary Ellen in Wisconsin. Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. I am very good as well. My question has to do with Buddhism and the belief in Buddhism. I have some family members who are professed Buddhists, and even given that they were raised in a Christian home, are professed Buddhists. And I'm wondering if there are particular scriptures that would speak specifically to someone with that belief.
Yeah, very much so. Let me set this up so that everybody listening in can kind of get an idea of what's going on here. But Buddhism is a historical offshoot of Hinduism. And so what you are taught as a Buddhist is to embrace a triple gem. You first find refuge in Buddha, then in Buddha's teaching, and finally in the community of Buddhist priests. And of course, the priests are those who guide the devotees along the path to enlightenment. And in Buddhism, there are four noble truths. And this is really instructive to grasp because therein lies the key to witness as well. But the four noble truths in Buddhism are that all life is suffering, that the source of suffering is desire, and that liberation from suffering is found in the elimination of desire, and that desire is eliminated by following an eightfold path. And so the eightfold path is instructive in that they're taught right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right awareness, and right meditation. I think I got all eight there. And by following that path through many reincarnations, they hope to erase karmic debt. And they hope, as a result of erasing this karmic debt, to achieve nirvana, which is the realization of no self. And in that way, they attain liberation from suffering, liberation from the endless cycle of life and death and rebirth. So reincarnation plays a huge role in the equation. So what do you say to a Buddhist? Well, in sharp contrast to their teaching, we must exercise disciplines in order to transform our desires as opposed to eliminating our desires. So it's the transforming of desire that is operative. And ultimately, suffering is not overcome through stamping out the self, but through the selfless sacrifice of a sinless Savior. They want to stamp out the self so that they can become one with nirvana. We're saying, no, you don't have to go through this endless cycle of reincarnation, the soul continuously returning in other bodies. No, this body's going to be resurrected. So the hope of resurrection is how we come to peace ultimately with the tragedy of life. The tragedy of life is not an easy thing to come to grips with. So we say through resurrection, we come to grips with the maladies of a fallen world. We look past the maladies to the hope, and we recognize the reality that in this world, we are always going to have trouble, and we're never going to overcome it, but there's one who did overcome it, and therefore we rest in him, we receive him, he transforms our life and gives us peace in the midst of continuing storms.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. And I've written about that in various places, including the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. The Christian Research Institute is always available when you go to the web at equip.org. That's our website. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000. See you right. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.